You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
After a very successful launch in 2015, The Bachelor New Zealand is back to grace our screens every Sunday and Monday nights, and the third season has promised audiences more romantic twists and turns than ever before. In a short space of time, it's become a reality television staple for most Kiwis, a national institution, if you will. Whether you love it, or you hate it, or you love to hate it, the truth is that we just can't get enough of it. This morning, I spoke to research manager at the Institute of Culture, Discourse and Communication at AUT, Dr. Philip for Smith, to develop a more critical insight into reality TV and what exactly makes The Bachelor tick. I started out by asking why the more romantic subgenres of reality TV in particular tend to resonate with audiences.
I think that everybody likes the idea of love and connection and relationships. I mean, that's just a sort of a biological part of who we are. When it comes to watching reality TV and romance in that particular genre, it's a fascination. It's how do other people react? How do they respond? And in a way, we might want to identify with these people, but at the same time, we're very much open to criticizing them as well.
Right, but is it kind of the content alone, or is it more the unmediated and the voyeuristic manner in which we get to experience this reality that's more enticing?
Well, I think basically, if we look at The Bachelor, it's a game, and we are part of that game. So the content raises lots of questions, you know, how real, you know, is it? But I think it's more the whole aspect of, you know, observation, being part of it, and it's all the social media and discussion which becomes part of it as well. So it's, you know, attractive to people for multiple reasons, if you like. It's not all about love. It's about how do these people respond, how are they constructed by the producers, and we are the ones who get to discuss it and have public debate about it.
And also feel like we're kind of part of the story. Is that also another element of it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and if you look at reality TV in general, when it's sort of grown out of sort of factual documentary, that the audience now has a much greater role. And we've seen those competitions where you vote people on and off. And while we're not doing that with The Bachelor in New Zealand, because those discussions are, you know, going online and in chat rooms and on Facebook and what have you, and even, you know, the media itself, so many articles are generated after each program, and opinion pieces. So, you know, to a certain extent, there might be FOMO if you're not watching. You might feel as though you're missing out. You're not going to be able to join in the discussion with your friends and others.
Yeah, and staying with general attitudes a little bit, there is this kind of wide perception that hating reality television somehow puts an individual in a morally superior position. And there are definitely legitimate critiques out there, but for the most part, like when you're talking about these think pieces, it seems like people just kind of love to hate. So are New Zealand audiences particularly cynical and critical of reality television, or is there a wider issue?
Well, I think New Zealanders have always had an ability to be critical of New Zealanders being on television. I mean, if we go right back to the sort of 1960s and 70s when TV first came, you know, into New Zealand homes, there was what was known as cultural cringe. We had so much television from the US and the UK, and if there was a New Zealand program, it was like, oh, you know, can't bear to hear that New Zealand accent, or, you know, we don't know how to do things. So from those very early days, there was that criticism then, but over the years, New Zealanders have grown to love seeing themselves on TV, and it is very much part of, you know, the cultural landscape. I would think that many other countries, people are also critical of, you know, their own reality TV programs. So New Zealanders are probably no different. But I think we do get the sense of a right to entitlement to criticise, because as we talked about before, it's sort of being, we become part of the game. And, you know, there are these New Zealanders who are putting themselves out there for everybody to see for whatever reasons. And, you know, we like to judge them, or feel that we are entitled to judge.
Yeah, and our particular version of The Bachelor also seems to thrive on these painfully uncomfortable moments and these dating disasters. Do audiences have a capacity to root for unhappy endings?
Well, I think that's a good question, because we definitely like the drama. I mean, that's what drives us. And already with the latest Bachelor, we're just beginning to see some of the personalities come out. And we're thinking, who's going to be the Naz of season three? So, you know, we want the drama. But, you know, just thinking about it, we also like happy endings. And so, you know, all that conflict can go on and we can criticise. But at the end of the day, we like it when, you know, things turn out. I mean, we have the fact that Matilda Rice and Art Green are still happily together. What I found quite sad with season two, that, you know, we had Jordan choosing Fleur and the next day that she gets dumped. So to me, that was the reality. That's what happened after the program. And I found that how that played out was actually, you know, very, very sad at the end of the day. So I don't think we like unhappy endings. We like the drama, but, you know, it's just natural for us to sort of go away and sort of have a feeling of happiness. And that's one of the things to do with reality TV, that we can sort of end on an up note if possible.
Mm, and Jordan was just entirely disinterested, I think, in the process. But you're right in saying, like, Art Green and Matilda Rice are kind of our poster couple,
yeah,
if you will.
Let's face it, you know, here you've got a bachelor who is given a choice of 19 girls to choose somebody who, you know, that they can have a connection with. And even in the program, you know, this week, they were talking about, you know, somebody who could be a future husband. I mean, talk about, you know, no pressure. But, you know, when you think about it, 19 girls, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're really going to find true love from just, you know, a cohort of 19 girls who have been selected for whatever reason. So, you know, I can definitely see the dilemma that the actual bachelor is put in as well. And in fact, I thought it was quite interesting in one of Zach's comments, which they repeated twice in the last episode. He commented, "It's like a pack of lions hunting a gazelle." He said, "I'm freaking out. Should I just run away?" And I'm thinking, yes, that sort of says it all. It sums it up. So I think it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, and now reality television discourse obviously centres around this fixation on authenticity. So as you mentioned before, we've got our leading man, Zach Franich. He's 28 years old, he's from Red Beach, and he's the head coach at a surf life-saving club. I'll be honest, he is like a little bit bland to me, but he does feel real. He's nervous and he's awkward, but he's earnest. What are your thoughts on him? Will New Zealanders embrace his authenticity? Like, how real does the batch feel?
Well, I think, and I've seen this with all of the bachelors, so I think there's, you know, some sort of training that goes on, and they're definitely chosen, you know, for their good looks. You know, when you say bland, he's got personality, he's got perfect teeth, he's got a lovely smile, but the way he talks to the various, you know, participants, he's very kind and he's very polite, etc. So, you know, the drama is not going to come from him. It's going to come, you know, from the woman on the show. So, it's interesting. He is the center of attention, but it's how it's all going to play out around him, I think, at the end of the day.
Because with the second season, I think people found The Bachelor quite, for lack of a better word, bland as well. And a lot of the conflicts and the controversy had to be fabricated on the part of the production houses. Do you think there will be a similar thing here?
Well, I think there has to be. I mean, it's all about ratings at the end of the day. I think audiences are, you know, pretty savvy about reality TV, and we know that it's constructed. I mean, it actually surprises me that some of the women who want to participate do so, because particularly based on the previous programs, you know, they have no control at all over how they are conveyed. And again, I say they may be in the program for different reasons, for self-promotion, or, you know, perhaps they really want to have a bit of fun and, you know, do all that. But I think that there's actually, I don't know if you've seen it, a takeoff of this type of romance reality TV program called Unreal. It's an American
I've
program. And I just think that anybody, just watch the trailer of that. And, you know, while it's a takeoff, it's perhaps at the end of the day, it's, you know, we want drama, we want nudity, we want, you know, shocked expressions. I mean, you can see the way that they focus on people's faces, or when there are those really awkward moments, and there seem to be plenty of them in this series, you know, suddenly you get that sort of quirky music which is reinforcing it. So, yeah, we know what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. Are there any other standout personalities to you amongst the women?
It's pretty early days yet, and, I mean, you talked about... I think the show to begin with is a little bit bland because we've got all these sort of women to sort of assess, and there's only just some comments beginning to come through. So I think people will continue watching it, but it's really got to up the ante. But, you know, already we're seeing a sort of a little bit of the competition, the bitchiness sort of going on. This has come through with the language. So, you know, one of them said, "I want my time. I'm interrupting. Can I steal you? You have to be rude. Now's the time. If I don't get my message out there, then I won't have a chance." I mean, you know, this is all just bubbling under the surface. At present, there's just too many women for me to get my head around. So that's going to be up to the producers, who they sort of make more prominent and put in particular positions. So, yeah, definitely a wait and see game. But it's got to happen for the program to be successful.
And speaking of this kind of inherent bitchiness, gender representation is a big point of scrutiny in reality TV, and The Bachelor is one of the biggest culprits. Do you think the show is kind of inherently anti-feminist, or does it just represent the changing face of feminist discourse?
I mean, I think the program in itself is a parody of romantic love. But at the end of the day, you know, it's the way that these women are portrayed and those messages that are coming through. So I sort of feel a bit sad that those sort of gender stereotypes, we haven't really moved away from a lot of that historically through this program. You know, you still got the role of the woman competing with others for one man's attention, for, you know, whatever it takes. There's this sense of, you know, a gift of a rose, or the fact if you get an opportunity to kiss the bachelor, behaving in this, you know, way means that you'll get a man's interest, and also the feeling that we must have a man to make ourselves feel complete. So I'd like to think that the public debate that goes on actually recognises all of that, and we definitely see that coming through. You know, Zach is the male, he has the power of the woman, but, you know, when we're critiquing the show, we can also critique it from a feminist perspective. And I would like to add that we get as a lot of sort of men critiquing it with a feminist discourse as well as women. So perhaps there is a positive side to all of this, but the way the women are portrayed... Yeah, I think, again, it's
questionable.
It's questionable, those cringe moments. But that might be why people like to watch.
And, you know, it's interesting to note there actually is an article that they've chucked up on the 3Now website, which says something like 17 reasons you can be a feminist and watch the show. So they are very self-aware. The show's also been criticised for its lack of diversity and for perpetuating the recentering of whiteness in popular media. From the three bachelors to their various female suitors to the mysterious entry of the white rose, everything is just overwhelmingly white, and it's not an accurate representation of New Zealand. So why does this keep happening?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a good point, because it's not just this program. I mean, we can look across media and we can look across advertising, etc. And there's that, you know, the domination of, you know, that white perspective. And that's something that... you know, people need to be challenged about, you know, it's just like, you know, the question, when is the first gay All Black going to come out? You know, we're just waiting for things to happen, and you know, somebody's got to really make that first move. So, you know, I mean, it could well be a numbers game as far as, you know, who does apply to go on the show, and how people might be selected. You feel that, you know, there's one or two people with different ethnicities in the show. Is that tokenism? You know, it's really
tokenism,
hard to say,
isn't it? Yeah, it's not proper diversity.
Yeah, though. I mean, you know, let's get real. Yeah. Let's get real about it.
Yeah, I guess. And lastly, despite its many faults, despite the intense scrutiny it's subjected to, it has, since its inception, attracted viewers. So it always has, and it likely will for a very long time. Why is The Bachelor New Zealand so important to our cultural landscape?
Well, I guess behind it all, New Zealanders do like to see New Zealanders on television. We can take that cultural landscape literally. I mean, we have the settings of New Zealand, we have the, you know, the beautiful scenery, etc. And this is getting away from the actual romance side of things. It actually reinforces our national identity of who we are and where we live. And certainly I think it's important, you know, to have New Zealand content on television. I mean, that's always been part of the sort of New Zealand and they're wanting to promote, you know, more local content so that we get that sense of identity. And, you know, it's important, too, that we get people within the industry, you know, having jobs and learning skills and what have you. So, yeah, cultural landscape is important. We don't want to be dominated by American TV, UK TV, Australian TV. But, you know, having said that, I think if you did a content analysis, you'd find, you know, we're probably heavily weighted in that direction anyway, if you're taking in all the various platforms that we receive TV on these days.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.